Congressman Mike Rogers on the other end of our line. Where are you this morning?
I am in Washington, D.C.
All right. Well, obviously, we got to get your take on this plot, which Iran seems to be behind. Tell us what you know, tell us what you think, and what happens next.
Well, I mean, it was very real and very dangerous. I've seen a lot of the pundits try to call it amateurish or cowboyish or those kinds of things. But for a good stroke of luck, they approached the wrong person in a Mexican drug cartel. And what they had done is they had found somebody who they had some former relationship with but was not directly tied to their intelligence services, asked him to find somebody in the Mexican drug cartel that had the wherewithal and capability to develop a plot to get people into the country with weapons and explosives to be able to kill the Saudi ambassador. And they had a discussion that, you know, if there are civilian American casualties, so be it. And so it was very real, and what made it really brought it home is during the whole course of the event was that when he first moved the first bit of money, about $50,000, to get it operational, meaning so that the guy could start his planning and assembling weapons and people, and then the second $50,000. So it was very real. They had very real intention. I believe it goes to the senior elements of the Iranian government, and it is a very dangerous line they just crossed.
It seems that they are very arrogant, cocky, if you will, and choose to do what they choose to do. And there never seemed to be any repercussions.
Well, and that's part of the problem. I think that's why they got so brazen, Tony, that they believed that they could do this without any blowback. And, of course, their theory was if they got caught, it would go back to a Mexican drug cartel, not the Iranian intelligence services. And as part of the problem, the Quds Force, is their external organization. The State Department says it's its external organization designed to cultivate and facilitate terrorists around the world, and they have done that. And, you know, from Hezbollah, which, was at war with Israel recently, they have directly responsible for killing U.S. soldiers in places like Iraq and Afghanistan by training the enemy and equipping the enemy, and nothing has happened to them. And so I think they really thought that this was just the next step and that they weren't going to get caught and nothing was going to happen, and we're going to have, and by the way, this is the same country that wants to get a nuclear weapon.
Mike Rogers, the congressman from Michigan, is on the line with us. He's the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. So what do you do, Mike?
Well, I think this is an opportunity for the administration to do a couple of things. One, our European allies have been okay on sanctions, but they have not really stepped up to the plate. There's more that they can do. So this is the time for them to really step it up. And it's a message to our Chinese and Russian friends, if you will, and they have been standing in the way of sanctions across the board internationally since this started. And this is their chance to either stand with people who are committing acts of terrorism and trying to assassinate people on foreign soil, or they can stand with the rest of the international community. And this is, I think, a really good opportunity for the administration to start putting pressure on them. In addition, Tony, I would be very aggressive about going after Quds Force operatives in places like Iraq and Afghanistan that are facilitating the deaths of U.S. Personnel, and I wouldn't make any apologies for it.
Congressman, what are your thoughts on Occupy Wall Street? As a matter of fact, there's going to be an Occupy Lansing protest here on Saturday. Some of those folks have already set up camp. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I'm a firm believer in our First Amendment. People have the right to protest. I'm not exactly sure, and it's very clear when you hear the news reports from that they're not clear what they're really protesting. You get everything from the way our political system and government works, a capitalist type system, to the war in Iraq. I've heard it all, and I think that probably hurts their cause as much as anything is that they don't really have a single voice on what it is that they want. I think by the time December rolls around, they'll lose interest in camping outside, I'll tell you that.
Congressman, people are very frustrated here in the state about jobs. You know about that. We recently received, I've probably gotten more than 20 emails in the last few days as we've been talking about having you back on the program this morning. And people seem to be tired of the bickering, and they don't care who's at fault. The people that we talk with just seem to want action, and they want jobs, and they want the economy to do better. And what can you do to help these folks?
Well, we've passed through the House of Representatives probably close to over a dozen jobs bills that we know actually produce and will ignite jobs. They just keep stacking up in the Senate. It's been pretty frustrating for us as well. And we've all come to the conclusion, listen, and into the president's rhetoric, he's talked about it as well, that regulations are a problem, that the fact that there's all of this uncertainty, unfortunately, he thinks taxes does help the situation. I happen to think it probably does not help the situation. And we don't really have an energy plan. So we've been trying to send over all of those ideas, hoping to spark the dialogue for compromise on where we go, and we just haven't had a lot of success. So my argument is we just ought to keep finding the things that we can agree on and start passing them. Yesterday we removed tariffs on U.S. goods from three different markets for us that will, I believe, and you know, the UAW even supported it, will help create jobs even in the auto industry. So that's something we all agree on. The president agrees on it. So we're hopefully we can start to focus and continue to focus on those things that actually free up jobs. And again, I don't think there's a big government program out there that's going to do this. This has to be the private sector, small businesses re-engaging in the economy. And the only way we're going to do that is give them a little certainty. We've got to stop all these new regulations just this year alone, some $60 billion worth of proposed new costs on business. We've got to quit talking about how bad they are and that they're at fault and they're the problem and we're going to raise your taxes. I just stopped talking about that. Tell them, nope, we're not going to talk about raising your costs of doing business for at least 2 years. We're going to come up with an energy plan, and then we ought to get out of the way and watch the economy just roar along. There's $2 trillion, Tony, $2 trillion in private capital from American corporations sitting idle. And when you ask them, why are you sitting on all of this cash, most we've ever seen, it's because they said there's so much uncertainty. We don't know what our costs are going to be and with new regulations, new tax costs, and new tax code. We just don't know. So if you hire Mike Rogers today, 6 months from now, I have no idea what Mike Rogers costs me in my business, I better hold off in hiring. And that's exactly what we're seeing, and that's what we've got to put a stop to.
Which Republican presidential candidate are you supporting?
I have not made an endorsement yet.
People seem to be aligning with Herman Cain because they like his tax idea, the 999. If let's just say for a moment you're the tax czar, it's obvious that the tax system hasn't worked for decades. If we could overhaul it, if we could simplify it, if we could make it fair, what would you do? What do you think of Herman Cain's plan?
Well, I'm a flat tax guy. It would be fantastic. Again, I think certainty is important. And so I would know exactly what your tax rate is when you get up in the morning versus what your activity is during the day. And right now, we have a tax code that rewards some kinds of investments and doesn't reward others. And we have deductions for literally thousands of things. And it is a confusing morass, tens of thousands of pages of tax regulation that I really don't think anybody understands. So I would say, listen, we're going to reduce corporate deductions, but we're going to also reduce your rate. So we're going to have a low, flat corporate tax rate, so you know what you pay. And I would institute a flat tax across the personal income tax as well and say, listen, you know, quit hiring lawyers and accountants and all of those folks like Mr. Buffett does to get out of paying taxes, and that's exactly what happens, because they find all the loopholes and they apply it to their taxes and say, if you make $100,000, here's your tax bill. This is exactly what you pay. If you make $1 million, guess what? Same percentage, so you're going to pay a lot more, but here's your bill. I think that certainty I think will add to our economy. And we saw when Russia went to, from the Soviet Union to Russia, they went to a flat tax, and their revenues went through the roof. And the reason that is because people knew what their tax liability was, and they wrote the check. I just think it makes a lot of sense.
Will we make that change? What keeps us from doing that?
Well, that's a great point. I mean, there's been several bills in there. There's lots of different proposals. Mr. Keynes, 999, I mean, that's innovative. I just think it's always dangerous to have a federal sales tax and a federal income tax. I get a little worried about that. There's something called the fair tax, where people want only a sales tax on goods purchased. And I've got some issues with that. And then there's the flat tax. Now, I think the good news is that we're all candidates are talking about changing the tax code, including the Democrats, and that hasn't happened in a while. So I think that this could be a perfect storm for us to actually get something done on changing the tax code. And I think, I just think America would be so much better served if we could do that.
All right, Congressman, before we let you go, what's new that you're working on?
Well, I've just finished up the Intel authorization bill. We're working on it in the Senate. That funds the 17 intelligence agencies, the unclassified numbers, about $80 billion. I was able to shave off almost $1 billion in savings through finding efficiencies in those bills. So I spent a lot of time doing that to make sure that the intelligence community was doing its part in keeping America safe, but also finding efficiencies for the budget. We're working on currency manipulation. It's one of those things that, if we don't fix China's unfair trade practices now, I worry in 10 years when they become a consumer nation like the United States, we'll have very little impact. So I'm hoping to get that bill moved along in the House if we can get it done here before the end of the year.
All right, Congressman Mike Rogers on the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS. Congressman, enjoy your day. Thank you.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for having me.